Please remain standing for a reading from the Gospel according to Luke in the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wild. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed with demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now this month, we've had a special offering going for mental health, and particularly into autism. And so I wanted to think about that a little bit from the perspective of the scriptures and what the scriptures have to tell us about mental health. Now, first of all, to look at this story, I think on the surface it seems very, very foreign to us, very strange, very different. But the truth is, you've seen this man. You've seen him tormented, raving, clothes torn, clothes that don't cover his body, clothes that are ripped and dirty. You know, we have places and ways to lock up this man, but it seems that usually, like this demoniac, they get out. They roam the deserts and the wilds of our land, the alleys, the dark streets, and the undesirable neighborhoods. They live in camps and on the streets. And often people don't know what to do with them. Just like this demoniac, they don't know what to do. My kids often ask me when we see somebody out on the streets who's yelling or struggling, they say, "What's wrong with him? What's wrong with her?" Usually I say, "Well, he's got some kind of a struggle." It's hard to know what kind. God makes it clear that there are several aspects to our health. There's physical health. There's also mental health, spiritual health, social health. We are designed to be in community. That's why I think when Jesus talks about the great commandment, the commandment that Mary Grace read for us this morning, he says, you know, this is the most important thing, that you love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You could interpret that, right? Strength, physical health, mind, mental health, soul, spiritual health, heart. Well, that's what we love each other with, right? Our social health. And Jesus recognizes the importance of this, and Jesus says that sickness can get them all. I think we have no better place to look than the pandemic. The interaction between these things, how a very strong concern for physical health and the measures that were taken led to very poor social health for a lot of people. Well, pretty much for everybody on the social health. And then poor mental health, poor spiritual health followed, because there's an interaction, there's a connection, because we are one person. Each one of us has all of these aspects that Jesus recognized, and all of which God cares about. All of which God wants healthy. So we see in this man, in this story, it says that he has many demons. Demons are a way, I think, of understanding poor spiritual health. Right? There's a spiritual forces at war in this man. But it becomes very clear to see, based on the description that Luke gives us, that this spiritual depression, this spiritual warfare that's going on, has affected his physical health. It's affected his mental health. And it's affected his social health. He's locked away. He's in the tombs. He's rejected by his society. And he hurts himself and he hurts others. And like this man, so often, our best solution is just to kind of put him away. Put it out of our mind. We don't talk about it. You know, it doesn't have to be quite so bad as this story for us to not talk about it. I was thinking about, you know, the good, if any of you have kids, I'm sure you've listened to 1,000 times, we don't talk about Bruno, right? You think about, why don't they talk about Bruno? Well, he's got some kind of mental struggle. He's got a mental health issue. It becomes very clear as you see him interact with Mirabel in the movie. He's got some kind of mental health issue. The gift is also a burden for him, and this mental health struggles. And what do? They hide him away. They don't talk about it. Just like this man, just like the man suffering from the legion of demons. You know what? Our problem is often we don't talk about things we feel powerless against. Demons in the scripture represent things that are more powerful than us, less powerful than Jesus. But anything that we feel like we can't do anything about, things that make us feel uncomfortable, it could be physical health. Ask people who get terminal diagnoses or who have very difficult debilitations, how their social lives change, how people stop visiting them because they don't want to see them in that condition. They get isolated and alone. I remember back when I used to visit Miss Betty before she died. She said, you know, oh, she didn't say, but her daughter told me, she was unable to talk at this point, that until she was unable to talk, that Ibby Jenkinson called her every day didn't let her get isolated. But it's hard to do that. It's a gift to be able to reach out to somebody who's suffering greatly, who's got a disease, a problem that we can't do anything about. And I would argue that mental health is really the worst for us, the one we really don't like to talk about. And often it's easier to hide, and therefore becomes more and more insidious as it breaks down our total health. But there's good news. There's good news in the scriptures today. The good news is that when Jesus comes, Jesus shows us that God cares about our health, our wellness, our well-being. God cares about us as a whole person. God cares about us, body, mind, socially, community, and spirit. It's not only the spirit that God cares about. It's not only that give your life to Jesus and nothing else matters that God cares about. God cares about our total selves, our whole person. Because God created us that way. God didn't just create us as a soul that's sort of looking for an escape. God created us, mind, body, soul, one person. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that fundamentally and ultimately tells us this. It's what I was telling us about last week, right? It's the resurrection and the new world that it promises. Bodily resurrection. Like a seed growing into a plant, conformed and made of the things that were the original. It's the incarnation of Jesus Christ that tells us this truth, that Jesus came in the flesh. God came to be with us as a person. God didn't have to do that. There's no reason that God has to do that except for that Jesus has compassion over our total selves. God comes where other gods and other people won't, to be a human. To go all the way, it says, across the sea to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. For what purpose? Well, it seems only to find this man. This Gentile, this outcast, this man who is suffering in body and mind and spirit, and to heal him and make him well. That's how much Jesus cares about us. And Jesus talks to this man where others have cut him off. Where others don't want to talk about it, Jesus brings the problem into the light. Jesus finds the root cause, the demons that are possessing him. But the Son of God has power over those forces, over all the forces that destroy and degrade the image of God within us. There's so many things that can drive loss of health, loss of mental health. Like we learned in the pandemic how badly the isolation can affect us, right? But there's so many others, abuse, trauma, genetics. God cares about them all. Jesus has power to heal them all. Now, when Jesus is physically present, Jesus is able to heal this man instantly. And he doesn't just heal him. He doesn't just drive the demons away. You have to look at the story carefully, right? The man is clothed when they find him. Jesus heals his physical problems. The man is returned to his community. Jesus sends him back to the town that he's in and said, "Show the people what God has done for you." He's returned to his home. It's the whole person that Jesus cares about, the whole person that Jesus deals with. So we go back to that question that the kids ask. What's going on? What's wrong? And I think what they're usually getting at is, how can we help? Well, this story, I think, is a parable for us. It helps us with that answer. You know, Jesus doesn't heal every single person in Israel and Galilee and the surrounding Gentile community. He heals people to show us what to do. The ministry continues. So the first step is just doing what we're doing over these next few weeks. Talk about it. That's the first thing Jesus does. He brings it into the light. Things that are in darkness, says very clearly in the scripture, that the light of Christ, the light of healing, has very, you have to bring things into the light. And the healing, it's not always instant. Jesus works through counselors, through doctors, through researchers that create good medicines that help to heal us. Jesus knows what we're afraid to talk about. Jesus cares. And Jesus is at work for healing. Mind, body, soul, heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.